on 97.5 and 102.5 FM, DAB and online at pulse1.co.uk. It's all about rugby.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One with Provident, lending a helping hand since 1880. Visit provident.co.uk.
Kia ora and g'day, rugby league fans. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show here to discuss all the latest happenings from the world of rugby league. No, Luke Robinson tonight, he's on duty with the Giants and a pre-season friendly, which actually means he's dumped us for his testimonial once again, Leon. But Leon is here. The Earl of Rugby League is here in the house once again. Give it a whoop whoop, Leon.
Whoop 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 whoop.
And we're also joined by former Cass and Red Devil Super League star, now with Halifax, Ryan the Tank Boyle. Round of applause in the studio. Whenever you're a virgin coming onto the show, we give you a round of applause. Then after that, Ryan, when you come back in a couple of weeks' time, we're just going to boo you.
No, I'm looking forward to it, Robert.
All right, I love it. All right, to celebrate the start of Halifax's season this weekend down at the Shea, we're giving away a family pass to the opening game. To win this, all you need to do is during the show, let us know what year they moved from Thrum Hall, that horrible, horrible, freezing, cold, windy, but awesome old stadium to play in. It was horrible. Down to the Shea, and we'll pick a winner towards the end of the show. So tell us the year that Halifax moved from Thrum Hall to the Shea, and we'll pick a winner towards the back end of the year. So, let's not mess about. Let's kick it off and get the show on the road. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show. News and views.
Evening, boys. Evening, Ryan. Welcome to the show. Evening, Leon.
Evening, mate. Roberto.
Ryan, you got to get really animated in this show. I mean, we don't, to be honest, obviously, usually we have Leon on the show. Not usually. He's here every week. And we have Robbo here every other week because he likes to take a lot of mid-season holidays, does Robbo. But we're all halfbacks, we're all piano players, and we get every now and again, it seems, we only seem to invite donkeys on the show. Last week we had Dewsbury's Tony Tonks on the show, yeah. Another donkey, he's quite a regular on here. And once again we've got another donkey, another forward.
No, I'll see what I can do. Hopefully I'll give you a bit more than what I did.
What do you think about that introduction, the tank?
Oh, the tank, it's the first time I've heard it actually. But no,
Halifax told me that's what we had to call you from now on.
We'll stick with it today.
Just for tonight, just for one show. Leon, we're just talking about off air because it's February the 1st. Just to mention also, it's 2 days out from my birthday, February the 3rd, 41 years of age. Only rugby league player to ever told his real age, and I'm not a rugby league player, over the course of my career,
I always tell my age, I don't care.
You have to, because I keep telling everyone before you get to it.
I don't care. Who cares? It's only a number, isn't it?
It's only a number, and not too many grey hairs coming through on your head as well.
Only when it's short, when it's long, you can see them.
Boy, how old are you, mate?
29.
Sorry, the tank. 29. You're 29.
Yeah.
You're just a baby compared to the rest of this room. But January is always that month we look after ourselves, or we make those New Year
resolutions,
those commitments. Did you guys make any over the course of January?
No, because I just knew I wouldn't stick to him. Stayed realistic.
At least he's honest.
Yeah, same as Leon. Sorry saying them, but you have to back it up and see him through. So,
well, I mean, the usual ones are about looking after yourself, aren't they? For most people out in the real world, it's about, okay, December's really indulgent. Overcook. You always spend too much. You eat too much. You drink too much.
Well, my January was like basically January 2nd. I found out that we're going to liquidation. So my January my New Year's resolution was to find a job, to try and find some pay to feed my family, Rob. That was my New Year's resolution.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so what can you do? What were you going to do?
I don't know. I'd be a lollipop man or something like that. I don't know. Ice cream man.
You would make a great lollipop man. Well, you're so tall.
Cars
could see you coming.
That's what we recommended
like
for Fozard. We said, Fozard, when you retire from rugby, the only thing you couldn't be is a lollipop man.
Big smiley face. People can see the lollipop from 4 miles away because you're so big.
So that's my New Year's resolution, Robert.
Boy, we were talking off. The tank. We were talking off air just about because you've come from a professional environment, full time professional environments at both Castleford and Salford. You were let out on loan to Halifax last year, throughout the season last year, and obviously you've signed contracts for 2000 and, um, 17, but you've gone from that full-time professional environment into what is a semi-professional environment, although you kind of still have all of your eggs into one basket in regards to you work full-time for the Halifax Club as a development officer as well as a player. But what... how new has it been for you sort of having to work with guys, but you know, you don't see them every single day. It's like three times a week before you play. Do you have like a Tuesday, Thursday training run, Saturday morning, captain's knock, Sunday? Still do that. So how's that been for you?
I think at first month, I thought I managed it quite well. I think that after a while, I found it a bit hard, especially the second month. Training at night, I'm used to waking up in the morning, going all out, finishing by 12:30, 1 o'clock, then chilling out and recovering for the rest of the day. So I was waiting to turn up to training. And I know a lot of lads that are fully qualified in the jobs and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's a part time outfit at Halifax. So I'm turning up to train at 6 o'clock and I actually felt more tired. Through waiting around all day.
Lethargic and the lethargy,
It's horrible,
isn't it?
It's the worst, isn't it?
So, and lads have been at work all day and they're turning up to training, probably had more energy than me and I've been waiting around for training, so I found it pretty tough, but it's all about managing yourself and like now I'm going into schools a bit and doing a bit of coaching in schools. So it's all about more you do through the day, I think more energy you have at night, as stupid as it sounds.
No, I understand that because it, effectively all it is a brain switch, isn't it? You're moving your brain. So if you're at work all day and if you were told to do a long shift, I'm sure you'd be dragging your knuckles. You know, if your job is to sit behind a desk and punch numbers all day, come 5 o'clock, to actually go and then go put your training kit on and get out on the field, it's actually, they say, a change is as good as a rest. Yeah. And that's what you're talking about. Whereas if you're sitting at home and the only thing you're thinking about, because when my first season at the Bradford Bulls was at Bradford Northern. Yeah. That was a part-time club where we trained Tuesday night, Thursday night and Saturday morning. I wasn't even there. They didn't have development officers back in those days. I went to the gym in the morning and I played video games all day and watched videos. It was a horrible lifestyle.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that sounds really lazy and it probably was, but because I was a full-time, I effectively had a full-time contract, barely full-time, but it was full-time. And what I probably could have done is gone and done, what I should have done with years of experience, maybe gone and volunteered and did some volunteer work just to keep my mind fresh. But
everything's good in hindsight.
Yes, we would be rocket scientists if we did everything in hindsight. So how's pre-season gone with everyone down at Duchay?
No, pre-season's going really good. Obviously, it's a bit of a cliche with when you speak to rugby players and our tight bunch of people, but we really have. We went through a bit of transition in off-season. We had to let some players go. Financial reasons, it hit us in the pocket as it's been,
and that's across the whole sport. Obviously, we've been talking heavily over the past few weeks about the Bradford Bulls and leading up to, and whilst they're in administration. But I mean, across the whole sport, you can see there's really everyone's really feeling the pinch.
And with that happening, it's actually brought us closer all together. Lynn will probably agree with me on this. When you go through something like that, it actually brings you closer together because realize how much it means and how close you are as a team. So it takes a little thing like that, and you really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone's turning up training now, smiles on faces. We're getting well coached by Richard Marshall, and we're looking forward to the season. It's obviously around the corner. It's on Sunday against Fev. So we're all excited. This is our last week's training. Mm-hmm. We've done all the tough work now. So it's game on Sunday. And it's up to us now.
So what games have you had in pre-season?
We played Fev on Boxing Day, real close game. I think it was 6-6 at half time. Obviously, we made some changes at half time.
Yeah.
They run away with it. We played Salford, and that was pretty close. That finished 13-6 to 6 to them, and they had a pretty strong side up. So we've been competing in them games. So we need to turn them competing into games into wins. We've not won for quite a while now because we finished season off really poor last year. I think we had to win. Between two out of his last five games to finish in top four, which it didn't happen, so it affected us massively. So now it's all about starting this season. I think the team that starts starts the season the best, to get off to them first few wins, they're going to take it on for the rest of the year.
Well, really interesting, because you finished second in the championship ahead of Lee Centurions also in 2015. So to see the back end of the season fall out like it did, but we were talking off air how the impact of, a few things going wrong and you get into that pattern of losing.
Yeah, losing, it's like winning. It becomes into a bit of an habit. It's hard to break once you get into that losing. You lose one, you lose two, then you start looking at yourself and you're doubting yourself. You're looking at, you maybe look at your teammates and you're thinking, what can we do to drag it out of this losing mentality?
Mm-hmm.
But then you have to try that extra bit of effort, and then once you get that win, they usually come in pairs, and they usually get a few after you won. But it's hard to get out of once you lose a few back to back games. Once you get out of it, it's hard to get back, but it's what you've got to do.
All right, we're going to go to a break now. When we come back, we're going to continue pulling apart how Halifax are going to shape up for 2017. And we'll also be covering across all the sport's hottest topics. So stay with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
Join the biggest names in the game for the latest news, special guests, and opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, looking at all the sport's hottest topics. We have in the studio with us the All of Rugby League, Leon Price, and the Tank, Ryan Boyle, from Halifax. Just to celebrate the start of Halifax's season, we're giving away a family pass to their season home opener this Sunday. I think it's 3 o'clock kickoff down at the Shay against Featherstone. So a massive, should be top of the table clash between those two games. Should be a cracking game this Sunday down at the Shay. All right, just quickly on social media, Jody Broughton, Catalan's international winger. Well, actually, he was an international knight, wasn't he? He was a knight.
Nice, yeah.
He actually has got the ability to be an international player. He's a really, really class player. And he's also one of those players that you hate because he's intelligent as well. Good looking, can play rugby league, and he's got a degree. A surveyor's degree, isn't he? And anyway, he's just tweeted that Boyle is his hero, isn't that? Do you used to have like a man crush on one another or something like that?
We travelled together to Salford, so
what was that like?
Oh, we were good. There were me, Jody Broughton, Wayne Godwin, and Ashley Gibson. So,
imagine it.
We had a pretty good car, to be fair.
Well, you would have woken yourselves up, wouldn't you? Leon and I coached their kids team last night, and with Ruben Wickie coming out of Leon, pay attention.
I am. I'm listening. I can do two things at once.
He multitasks. He's the only man that I know that can multitask. He's on his mobile 24/7.
I'm just messing.
He's doing one of two things.
I'm missing Lee Radford. Is that all right?
I don't want to know what you're saying to
him.
Ask him about their missing tooth. Actually, no, he sorted his tooth out as well.
He's got it. Yeah, they made him.
Yeah, I've got this picture. I'm hesitant to actually put it on social
media. I'm listening, Rob. I'm just doing. I'm multitasking. Go on.
He's multitasking.
When you bring me into conversation, ask me something, I'll start talking.
He goes, what?
Go on. I'm listening.
Sometimes you do go, what?
Yeah.
When you're waffling,
and I'm getting bored. Come on, entertain.
He switches off.
Come on.
When he's looking at his phone, he's doing one of two things. He's either arguing with his wife, Carly, or because he hasn't put the bins out on time.
That's every day.
he's looking at social media.
No, I'm not. I'm just texting Lee Radford. That's all.
So me and Leon were coaching this the Castleford Panthers. What amateur team did you play for?
I were a Loch Lane lad.
Loch Lane. So we were Cass Panthers with your arch enemies.
Yeah, pretty local derby.
Yeah,
they were good kids.
For each other, aren't they?
They were good kids last night, weren't they?
Yeah, they're good. Fine, not
good
bad.
Good kids.
Not
muddy bad. Fields.
Really muddy field, wasn't it?
So it was same, and so the same age group as Leon's little fella, William.
Under 14.
So they do play against William as well.
I thought we did actually quite a good session, Robbie. I thought it went really good. To say we had libbed it in the car, like planned it within 10 minutes.
No, we didn't. Don't say that.
No, kind of like,
it was very professional,
no,
really set up.
No, but I'm saying, say we planned it on the way over there. We planned it within 15 minutes. It were really good.
Well, we haven't been doing it for 20 years.
Yeah,
we should know a few drills or not.
But then again, saying that, just because you're a good, you're an okay player, doesn't mean that you're going to be a good coach.
No, you're right. You're right, but I think communication is key as well. Mm-hmm. And I think some of those kids started dropping off to sleep or started multitasking last night when I was trying to inspire them.
Yeah, I see. That's the number one thing to teach you with coaching when I've done my level two coaching is kids have only got a very, very short
attention span,
just like myself.
Professional rugby players.
Rather than tell them what to do, try and show them what to do, explain them with motions. So that's why you always try and speak for, they've got about 15 seconds time span. So within that 15-20 seconds to get your message across and then explain, show them through actions. That's why I've got
explain. You know, when we're growing up at school, that explains a lot, eh?
That's true. That's what I got taught.
When you got the teacher in front of you, I get that with rugby because you're being tactile, you're being physical. Yeah. But when you're sitting in class and they're trying to explain things, it does explain a lot about your upbringing.
Do you like
it?
Did you like the explanation?
I did. Yeah.
Do you want to know the first rule of coaching as well?
I never did any of my coaching.
Well, I'll learn.
I'll teach you.
Do you know the first rule of coaching?
Go on.
If you're standing and it's sunny, make sure that you're stood with the players not looking into the sun. Make sure you're looking into the sun and they're looking to you. That's the first rule.
First rule.
There you go.
That's true. That's where I got taught.
You do this for a living. What he does this for a living is what he's talking is. Well, what are some other tips? I'm sure there's some coaches out there that actually might be able to pick some nice little tips off you guys.
I've got another one. It's called. I can't say the swear word, but it's called a rubbish sandwich. So whenever you try,
explain.
So basically, when you're coaching people, either kids or adults, what you do is when you've got the negative to say, you start with the good. So you'd say that drill was fantastic. You did really, really well. You pushed in support. Your communication were fantastic. But this, you wasn't doing that. But what we can learn from that is that next time we do that, we can push a little bit more support, our communication be a little bit better. And next time, let's try. So you start with the good, you give them the bad, and then you finish with the good.
It's the same with tennis. Actually, it's the same in business. When you're nurturing an employee, what you want to be looking for is a reason to celebrate them. And then when you need to, when they get something wrong, the reprimand, it is you remind them about what they do well, You show them what they've done wrong, and then you remind them again about what they, and they put themselves, because look, human nature, we like to be liked.
Did you like that, Robert, then?
I love it.
Told you, I did listen.
Keep listening, didn't we?
Well, that's it. Them are main ones that I took from it.
Actually, there's something that Leon actually wants some tips. So, ladies and gentlemen, remember, you can pick up a family pass, but Leon also wants some tips. At this point in time, he's writing his autobiography. A warts and all. We're going to find out what happens, you know, what those arguments between him and Carly are really about.
No, mostly we're going to learn about what really went on with the Bradford Bulls. So that's a good selling point.
You're selling it here now, eh?
That's a good selling point, isn't it, Robin?
You've got to be careful with that as well.
No, I don't, because it's new owners.
Yes, you got a point. But what Leon wants to know is he wants some ideas for a title of his book. A title.
I'm really struggling for a title, Rob. I've got no idea what to say. So I'm hoping a few people can give me some ideas out there.
Yeah. So send in your ideas and Leon will get it back to you. So Ewan, you can't take my script, mate. It's got all my questions.
Look how professional we sound. Look how professional. Well, good work, Ewan. Making us look like a set of amateurs.
Okay, so where were we? What were we talking about?
Just coaching.
Coaching tips and that. So come on, Boyley, prove yourself to us. You're doing this for a living now.
Yeah.
When did you sign on with Cass? How old were you?
17.
17?
Yeah.
You're 29 now.
Yep.
So that's 12 years as a professional, and then obviously now professional coaching within school. So come on.
I'm going into junior schools coaching. It's a company Ryan Hudson's set up. So,
okay.
So Raza set this company up called Elite Kids Coaching, basically going into junior schools.
Yeah.
You can do rugby league, you can do functional fitness, or multi-skills, multi-sports. So it's basically going in, teaching kids how to play rugby, just really from basics, passing, kicking, tackling, stuff like that, making sure it's lots of fun. I reckon key to coaching kids is making sure it's fun.
Yeah.
If it's fun, they're going to come back. That's how I try to plan my sessions.
So big smile on your face, engaging with them.
Big smiles, loads of energy.
I got to admit, I found last night there was a, so we're doing a little bit of, you know, grabbing levers, you know, doing a little bit of groundwork. I loved it because for the first time, I was like a front rower. You know, because I've always been the smallest bloke on the field. So you just imagine like sort of like getting on all fours with Stuart Fielding and he's just tossing you around like a little rag doll. And, you know, no one used to like teaming up with Stuart. So I always ended up with him because, I don't know, captains are supposed to make the sacrifice. And then he just doesn't have a button that takes a foot off it. You know, I'm going to look after my halfback here. Actually, I felt like that last night. I'm throwing these little 14-year-old kids around. I was feeling right masculine. It's inspired me because we were talking about Ruben Wickie's coming out of retirement to captain the New Zealand Warriors Nines team, 44 years of age. And as we're walking off the field, Leon, you know, put his arm around me and said, "Oh, Robbie, man, I'm impressed. You still got it. You could come and play for us." I'm questioning myself. And then when I got home, my wife slapped me. So I kind of, you know, I took back control. Get real.
Four-year-old. It's good on him, I say.
Well, I know.
He's feeling like he's capable of doing it. If he's feeling fit enough, which I'm sure he can.
Well, he's got this training program down under called Wiki Love.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and he's an absolute monster.
If there's one player that I wish I could have played with in my career, he was the one.
He was inspiring.
He's like I got very close mates with Brent Webb when he came to France to play with me and Callum Ming. Webb got really close, and Webb named his son after
Ruben.
Yeah, Ruben.
Did he?
Yeah.
Well, he was. He was an inspiring guy to have around you because he just did everything really hard, you know. He sort of like, you know, he used to relax here in his downtime. He'd go and have a beer, but he'd be the first up in the gym the next morning. He'd be training like, you know, just a work ethic like you wouldn't believe, and that's what sets the standard for you. Okay, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we'll keep discussing Halifax future. We actually haven't spoken much about Halifax yet, and we'll cover more of the some of the hottest topics in the sport. So stick with us here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Welcome back to the RHP Show with the Earl of Rugby League, Leon Price, and the tank, Ryan Boyle. He likes that. Look at the big smile on his face, Leon. Leon, you said you're going to put your phone down. Have you got your phone down?
Yeah, I've just had a warning from Kirsten, my next door neighbour. She's texted Russell and told Russell's just messaged
Russell.
Me. Russell, my next door neighbour, just messaged me and told me to put my phone down. So he's away for half an hour.
Goes down for half an hour. There's a psychological issue with mobile phones. Apparently, people get depressed if they look at their phone and they don't see a notification. And people are looking, you know, looking for notifications.
I am.
And when they get a notification, they get an endorphin release like you get when taking out, drinking alcohol or drugs, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what makes them addictive.
That dopamine's just been released in the brain.
That's it. You get the dopamine.
I'm addicted.
Rushing
I'm addicted
around your
to
body.
My phone. I put my hands up. I've got an addiction. I've got a problem.
Oh, and so Jakey gonna need to keep an eye on his phone, sure that he doesn't go into his hand.
It's gone.
Just to let you know, Boyley, who Russell is Leon's neighbour. And I think about a year ago, Leon caught someone breaking into his car.
Really?
Leon sleeps naked. Leon ran into the street naked, grabbed this kid, and he's trying to call out to his neighbour to come give him a hand. Russell!
With that big todger slinging around all over the place.
Oh, moving quickly along. Okay, we want to talk rugby league. Just mentioned there on the news, Lura Kajo, been with the Huddersfield Giants since he was about 11, I think. Finally been given the captaincy of the Huddersfield Giants. I think that's a good plus for the Huddersfield Giants, isn't it?
It is, because he's been not far off the international scene for the last 5, 6, 7 years. So he's had a fantastic career. Huddersfield boy. Hopefully, you know, he'll talk well on the field for the boys. So we'll.
One thing you probably don't know is he's actually got a stutter. He's got a head stutter.
I do know that.
But it's one of those things that when he's in an environment, he doesn't stutter.
Yeah.
You know, when he's on the field, it's kind of like when Gareth Gates sort of goes to sing.
He goes.
The stutter absolutely went. Well, obviously, you played in the forward pack for the majority of your career, never needing to go out onto the edge. Well, probably fairing going out onto the edge. You know, what are your thoughts on Lira Kudjo? Brilliant footwork, hasn't he?
No, he's a really good player. Like Leon said, he's been on cusp of international honours over the last few years. So I think he's played quite a few probably in England games. So to me, it looks like Huddersfield's looking to the future.
Mm-hmm.
I think Inchcliffe and Bruffy maybe shared it last year. So
yeah, I think they've been given the vice captaincy role. So they're Hinchcliffe, Danny Bruff, and there is one other that's been given a vice captaincy as well.
Lawrence.
Yes. Yeah, Michael Lawrence. Yep, those three.
So
that's why I invite you on. You know it all, boy.
They've gone to Leon. They've gone to Leroy Cudjoe. Not Leon.
Sorry, I get called Leroy as well.
28 year old. So to me, it looks like looking to the future and looking for a long term captain.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I agree. When I played at Huddersfield in 2006 and 2007, Leroy was just a young player coming through the grades right at that point. And they just didn't know where he's going to fit. He actually trialled a little bit at standoff, played fullback, played wing. I think he played a couple of first grade games on the wing, and he played come off the bench and played a little bit at fullback as well. But I think centre overall was the right position for him. He developed that sort of one-hand carry,
yeah,
and the sidestep that he's got, able to draw the centre in. Who's a great player that you played alongside of at St. Helens that had that ability to...
Gidley.
Step outside the player, draw the
Gidley
flick.
The Gidley flick.
And Leroy was able to develop that as a skill set as well. So absolutely brilliant. And I think congratulations, Leroy. Well-deserved. You've done your yards. You've stayed loyal to the Huddersfield Giants, and you deserve that. We were talking about Ben Barber off air. He's been given he's tested positive for social drugs, given a 12-week ban internally within the club. But he's actually making the move into rugby union to Toulon. And I think Toulon is actually signing up absolutely everyone. I think
Mike Ford's there, isn't he?
Is that right? I didn't realise that.
Mike Ford's the coach.
Okay, so he'll have his tendrils into all the rugby league, who's coming available.
Yep.
I think Semirad Radra is also player that's on his way to Toulon.
Well, that's the team that always signs the big boys. That's where Sonny Bill Williams went.
Carter.
Gitto. That's where all the big dogs are.
Yes, yeah. Is Toulon, is that where Johnny Wilkinson was finished his career as well?
Yeah, that's right. They're a very rich club, are they?
Yes, yes. But just sort of coming back into the Denny Solomona sort of ilk about, between the two codes and breaking the rules. Because there's an argument that rugby union are considering, well, you can just go and play. You know, that was what happened over there. Do you think that sets a dangerous precedent for both codes? If one code allowed, it could be performance enhancing, whatever, a player to break the rules and their code, and the other code would allow them to come and, just come and pick up a contract.
Yeah, it depends. This is a very, very touchy subject, and I don't think we should go into too much detail because I know people have strong viewpoints on it, but the test that it got proven positive for was that was an in-house club test.
Yep.
If you get tested by WADA, which is the World Anti-Doping Agency, it's an automatic 4-year ban.
That's a blanket ban across the globe.
Without a shout-out. But if you get tested in-house, then that's basically your own rules.
Okay.
So that goes on what you want to say. So sometimes if a team are wanting a player out of the club, they'll test him quite often to try and maybe catch him out.
What I'm trying to discuss is the sort of the agreements between the two governing bodies of rugby union, World Rugby Union and World Rugby League. Because the Denny Solomona is a very, very different thing because he broke contract
and
he was allowed to play. Very different aspect here because it's
two different things, Robbie.
Yes,
we're talking about two totally different things. And I don't think it's a grey area that we shouldn't mix up.
No, I agree. But what I'm talking about is that are the sports going to stand alongside each other in some regard? Rugby union's broken sort of what was an unspoken rule between rugby league and rugby union.
With what?
With allowing a player to register and play whilst he's still under contract.
Okay.
This is something in a this, similar
This
ilk.
Is a great
Not
area.
The same, but in a similar ilk.
Yeah, but
if they allow that to happen, it's very not. It's not ethical, is it?
It's not, no. So let's just leave it.
No, we're not going to leave it.
What do you want me to say in a day?
I want to have your opinion on it.
This is my opinion. My opinion is this. If he was got in trouble by the actual agency that tests you for drugs, which is the World Anti-Doping Agency, WADA, this is a 4-year ban. There's no getting around it. But it didn't. He got caught by the club. Mm-hmm. Now then the club has the choice to ban him on what they want to ban him. He's not banned from the game. He's banned from that club, from playing.
Okay.
So if another club wants to take him on, then he's free to go wherever he wants.
Okay. So
I'm not saying that's right, but that's just the way it is.
Okay. So then there's a discussion to be had that, you know, that the Toulon will be within their right to...
They are in within their right.
Yeah, legally, yes. And regulatory, yes, they are within their right. But ethically, are they within their right? What are your thoughts on that, Boyle? Are they ethically within their rights? Player was found, tested. That's not been disputed.
Probably not, really. Like Leon said, legally, they're entitled to sign him on. He's entitled to play the next game. But I don't know. It's been banned by the club. I don't know. I don't know if it sits right for another club to sign him and play straight away. It's a tough one. Like Leon said, it's a touchy subject.
It's an argument that you would never, people are never going to agree on. So I just don't like to even go there because it's not worth it. To be honest with you.
But we went there.
Yeah. It's not, is it? Because I could say, this is my opinion, and I know this will probably be the difference to other people's opinion. At the end of the day, it's been done for drugs, which is wrong. It brings shame on the sport. It's been proven to be wrong, but it's been in trouble by the club and not the actual agency. So, to me, if it's not performance enhancing, if he's not going out there and he's taking... If he's taking growth hormone, if he's taking steroids, something that he's gaining a massive advantage. And at the end of the day, what he's doing is doing himself a disadvantage. He's deteriorating from his game by doing social drugs. Mm-hmm. It's not good for himself. It's not good. It's not making him any better. Mm-hmm. So for him then to be allowed to play rugby, really and truly, has he helped himself? No, he hasn't. If someone's out there taking steroids, growth hormones, something that's completely cheating and making yourself into a much better athlete, then no, I don't think they should be allowed to carry on playing. No, not whatsoever, because it's completely and utterly wrong.
Okay. You with that, boy?
Yeah, I totally agree with what Leon's just said. So.
I think a lot of athletes feel in a similar fashion, don't they? It's like alcohol.
But I also know that I may sound wrong to some people. They'll think, it's drugs. It's drugs. It shouldn't be allowed.
Yeah.
So that, in that way, that's why I'm saying to you, I just don't like to go there because I know that it upsets some people, Robert.
Yeah, no. You're allowed your opinion. Okay, well, let's pull it away onto a brand new subject. Chris Chester commented on the benefits of John Kerr's experience. I remember Gilly at... our mate Stuart Fielden decided to get married on New Year's Eve. Who gets married on New Year's Eve? Our mate does.
I'm a brother.
We all, and your bro. Yeah. Actually, a lot of rugby players. Is it cheaper that night? I don't know. Car parking was expensive. Anyway, we all caught up together. We all went to Stuart Fielden's brilliant wedding in the middle of Leeds, and Lee Gilmore was there. And I was talking to Lee about John Kerr coming in, obviously with Chris Chester, an experience. Lee Gilmore around the block as well. The team that they have, they've been around the block. What happens when you've got someone as influential as John Kerr? Because sometimes it can upset the apple cart, because Wakefield finished strong when Chris Chester took over last year. And actually all of them saying that it's actually created some real synergy. He's been able to bring something really strong to the table. Leon, have you been coached by John?
John Kerr gave him my England debut in the World Cup 2000. I found him fantastic. I've loved him ever since. Just old school, gets a good camaraderie, gets the boys together. Just I've got a lot of time for John. I really like him.
Okay, well, I want to come back to this because I've just noticed I actually shouldn't have started there because we're just going into a break. So we'll come back straight after the break and we'll pick up where we left off. Right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. Stay with us. Pulse One. Travel. All right, another quick check on the road before we get back into it. Still slow on in Leeds on the A58 Inner Ring Road eastbound due to an earlier broken down vehicle near Park Lane. On the M62, it's heavier than normal at Junction 26 for the M606 Chain Bar eastbound, and Junction 28 westbound, it's slow too, so watch out for those issues there. And at Ainley Top in Huddersfield, there's one lane closed on Halifax Road due to a broken down vehicle. So if you know anything that we haven't mentioned, give us a call if it's safe and legal on 01274 200 200.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
All right, welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. This is the final segment and we've still got the Earl of Rugby League Leon and the Tank Ryan Boyle with us. Just to let you know, we're celebrating the start of Halifax's season. We're giving away a family pass to the opening game this weekend at home against Featherstone Rovers. At top of the table clash, we were just talking about Richard Moore with Halifax last year over at Featherstone this year. So it's a nice little tussle and muscle. Leon knows Richie. I know Richie. We played together when he was a young fella. He is a crank. We've got to get him on the show.
Yeah,
we've
got to get Richie at some point. They'll love it, aren't they? They'll love to come on.
They'll love it. You won't know this. Richie, you look at him. He's a big donkey.
Yep.
Bald head, you know. He looks like a meathead. He looks like all the things. The quintessential front rower. He's got the voice of an angel.
Lionel Richie.
Can't read. We worked that out because we, he probably learned how to read now, but we're in, was it Lanzarote? No, no, La Santa.
Yeah, it's Lanzarote, Club La Santa.
Club La Santa. Yeah. No, was it? No, it was in the, in Portugal.
Oh, I don't know what it's called.
In the,
Browns.
Browns, in that place, whatever that little resort was called. And if you were new to the team, you had to sing a song. And Richie gets up, and what did he sing?
Hello.
No, he sung hello. Lionel Richie's, hello. And he just nailed it. And then we made him sing more songs. So very entertaining.
Class. It's class, Richie. It's class.
Okay, so if you want a chance to win that family pass, we're going to leave the lines open for, what should we say, till Friday? Midday Friday. So just tweet in or... tweet in, or you can email at pulse1.co.uk. That's the one, yeah. Ewan's nodding right correctly. That's right. Just tweet in or email in. And we just want to know, what was the year that the Halifax team moved from Thrum Hall down to the Shay? So give us the year. It wasn't 96. It wasn't 99. It was in the 90s. So it's fine.
Just tell them if you want to.
No, I'm not. It's a competition. It's a competition. And okay, so good luck to those of you that that play. Featherston, yeah, how do you think they're going to go this year, Boyle?
I think they're going to go well. I think they've signed a few good players. Frankie Mariano, Casford last year, Jason Walton. I think he were
was at Bulls then, but when we went into administration, he was able to leave and pick up the contract there.
So
tough player.
Yeah.
Nuggety little player, very dynamic, quick. And in contact, keeps his legs driving. Were you at Salford when he was there as a young fella?
No,
so just a year you left.
So I think on that edge particularly, it's going to be a pretty strong side. I do a bit of coaching with Matty Wilden. Unfortunately for him, he missed most of last year with an ACL reconstruction.
Mm-hmm.
He's back in playing in half this year, so he's going to be looking for a big year. So looking forward to, as we've just mentioned, Richie Moore. I got pretty close to Richie last year.
I would never admit that publicly.
We went on a few fishing trips together.
Did you?
So that was pretty eventful.
Where do you fish?
Swillington Park.
Okay, like fishing.
I'm really good mates with Richie. You know, I've been playing against Richie since I was about 14.
Yeah.
I love Richie. I'm really good mates with him.
Oh, yeah. I roomed with him one time. It was frightening. I slept with an eye open. He's a frightening man. I don't care what anyone says. I love him to death, but he's frightening. I'm scared of him. Yeah, I don't know why they put halfbacks and front rowers together in rooms. It's just horrible.
So like I say, Featherston, they're looking pretty strong, especially on paper. But we played against them on Boxing Day, and it was a pretty close game, especially that first half. We made a few changes in that second half, and it kind of ran away from us the game. So we've had a good.
I mean, that's the nature of preseason matches, though.
Yeah.
But you're looking to you'll be looking for trying to get the season off with a real strong performance this week.
Yeah, I think it's massive. It's massive for every team that plays. You know, we need to pick up them points early. You need to get on that ladder kind of thing. So we're looking forward to it. We've got a pretty healthy squad. So we can't wait.
Leon, you had your first run out. You had your first run out on the weekend against Keighley. Congratulations to Keighley. They fought back to get a 1-point win over the Bulls. You guys were in cruise mode in the first half. One thing that really cracked me up was about the 20-minute mark. One of the Keighley lads give you a slap on the head. I just thought that was hilarious. That happened to me so often when I went and played in the championship.
I slapped him back though, Robert.
Yeah, I know that.
I don't think you've
got go-go gadget arms, haven't you? Yeah, so you have to have pretty long arms to get away from
basically, I'll tell you, this is how it goes. So when you obviously play at that level, you've got a big massive cross on your head, as you'll know. So I made a mistake. Somebody gave me a really bad ball. I should have, well, you were hard to catch anyway. I dropped the ball and I'm like walking away. It's a knock-on, referees called it. And then, you know, sometimes when players want to be try and put you off your game, they come over and they rub you on the head. But he didn't just rub it. He slapped me on the back of my head and rubbed it and then went, "Ey!" So I turned around and I slapped him back on the back of his head with the back of my hand. And he went, "Oh, too good for us now, are you? Do you think you're good? Do you think you're famous? Do you think you're world-class?" I think, "Mate, no, I don't think I'm out, but you've just slapped me on the back of my head. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Leave me alone.
He's got to get ready.
What do you want me to do? You've just slapped me on the back of my head. Do you want me to just stand there and say, 'Yeah, wicked, that's fine.' You slap me again if you want." Oh, gosh. It's like, well, just leave me alone, man.
I used to get that when I went and played back, when I went and played down in
You've got a better temperament than me.
I did, to be honest. You've got a much better temperament.
I'm
also smaller than you. So I got used to getting sort of like because as a halfback.
Plus also as well, it won't be too bad if I like back in Bull's Head, I'd have had Joe Vanganar around me. I'd have had Stuart Fielden. If I were at Hull, I'd had Mickey Pierre, Lee Radford. Bradford, I've got 18-year-old kids that are, you know, that really not going to be.
You don't want to get them.
I'm the one that's protecting them, and I'm the halfback. You know, I'm protecting these 18-year-old props. I mean, that doesn't really work out that way, does it?
Welcome, hey Boyley, tell them again. Welcome to the championship, son.
Nice one.
You're going to get it all season long.
I know that.
Get used to it.
I know that.
You do. You have a big target on your head, and you are a big name. And you're on the show all the time talking yourself up. So, well, we talk you up anyway.
Robbie, I'm prepared for it. Don't worry about it. I might get a few red cards, but no.
You can't do
that. I know, because I'm captain.
Better off on the field.
I'm joking, Robbie.
I love it. It tickled me because I had been in that position a few years ago. And I just thought, I got to the point, you know, you get a jab and you have someone square up for you with you. And I'm like, no, I'm just too old for this.
You saw the one before that when somebody took my head clean off and bust my
leg. I thought that was in the same.
No.
No, that was after.
That was the first 10 minutes.
That was within about three minutes of each other, wasn't it?
So I shot down blindside. Somebody come round, see me, and I didn't have enough time to throw the long ball. It kind of got cut off by a winger. Yeah. So I was looking to throw the cut out to score, and I wasn't looking where this guy was coming from, a defender, and he just went whack straight into my mouth. And my bottom lip's a big target, isn't it? And I just thought, not my lips, man. I can't get them any bigger than what they are. I can hardly speak as it is. So I bust all my bottom lip. I was seeing stars. I just thought, welcome to the championship. And then we went back up to over end of field. I dropped ball and somebody slapped me on back of the head. I just thought, this is just not my day. But that's life. I'm ready for it. Can I just say one thing? That field was an absolute disgrace. The field were like,
tell them again, welcome to the championship.
That field were like somebody, you know, the fields that you see when you're driving through Queensbury, and if you look into hills and they've got cows on them. That's what it was, just a cow patch.
Oh, mate, it's, you know, any field, anywhere.
You're right.
Any field, anywhere.
But that doesn't help when you've got kind of a little bit of a track. Your whole game's built around a bit of footwork, or you're trying to, like, actually run, and you can't move anywhere.
And you got 4mm.
Well, I've got fired for you. Yeah, I did. I didn't have the big 12s
on, didn't you?
I didn't have the big 12s
on. And someone who's been playing the game for 20 years should know better. Yep, but you've just got some new wheels, haven't you?
I've got some new wheels coming on Friday. Robbie, if I wore 12mm studs now, my legs would both snap and disintegrate into pieces.
22mm.
I could wear it when I was 16, but not anymore.
Leon looked down at me last night because we were taking this training session, and I think I've actually got the last 22mm studs left in rugby league circulation, because the real skinny ones that are like, you know, they're really, really tall. Leon, you've still got 22mm. But look, I'm a squat little thing, so yeah. I never really had
it's
any.
Just my
problem
legs. It's just now my knee would probably fall. My knees would fall off if I wore 22s.
Oh wow! Look, I tell you what, the time is flowing. So, just a round up. Leon wants to know if anyone's got any ideas for the title of his book. So get him at Leon Price 6. Is it?
Yep.
At Leon Price 6.
I think.
We want everyone to wish Boyley all the best of luck this weekend in his opening home game in the Halifax team. If you're in the area and you want to get down and support a local team, get down and support Halifax this year. Leon, the boys are across the whole KR this year. Obviously, tough whole KR this weekend. Tough battle going up against that squad. But all the best of luck for you also. Big thanks for all of you listening tonight, wherever you are. If you want to listen again, we'll upload the show to the website, pulse1.co.uk/RHP show, in about 10 minutes. So thank you very much.
This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show on Pulse 1. Wednesday evening from 6.